God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happening this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I'm fond of looking at some comparisons. Usually I find comparisons to be comforting, because often it points to us being on the right path. Comparisons between, for instance, the pain God would have us go through and the pain we might choose. That's a weird thing to say, isn't it? I've been thinking of this phenomena, this idea of choosing Christian pain. And it's a phrase I actually took and trademarked. My wife hates it. Doesn't like it because it could seem that, wait, are you saying that marriage is painful? No, marriage should not be painful. There are moments of pain in it. My wife is a brilliant woman, by the way, very smart woman, and I should have listened to her about more things. God gifted her with a real intellect, and so I'm listening to this feedback very carefully. But I'm looking at, at our country and the decision to choose ungodly pain. For instance, fiscal discipline is hard. Being broke is hard. So which pain is the Christian pain? Well, we are to not go around putting ourselves in debt. We're to be wise stewards of our money. We're to treat it as God's money. It's not ours. We get to manage it. Therefore, wise stewardship would mean you don't stack up tons of debt. The Christian pain then is, we can't go out and just have everything we want. No. Then we need to be wise stewards, beginning with tithing. Wait, 10%, but we don't have a lot of money. Choose Christian pain. In our country, we've chosen the non-Christian pain of telling people who do not agree that same-sex attraction and acting on it is godly. Well, dysfunctional relationships are painful. And family relationships that suffer because some of us prefer the biblical view of sexuality, both for same-sex attracted and opposite-sex attracted people, we're quite capable of loving others because we can love our friends who make different decisions. But choosing the Christian pain means to say, I need to speak biblical truth, but you're going to lose friends. I don't want to lose friends. And I'll choose the Christian pain. Because sometimes speaking truth comes at a cost. Being fat is painful. Getting started on an exercise regime is painful. If you want to get in really good shape, that's painful. If you want to be in really bad shape, that's painful. Choose Christian pain. The body is the temple. It's the storage place for the Holy Spirit, for those of us who accepted the Lord Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior and agreed to be changed by him. That's where the Holy Spirit lives, in us. Keep the temple clean. Choosing Christian pain means to choose the pain that Christ would have chosen. He chose pain. He didn't need to go to the cross. He had free will, just like we all have free will. Jesus could have said, I can't do it. That would have been painful. To disappoint the Father, to face now a personal wrath, a departure from the Father, and Jesus was and is God, part of the triune God, had never not been part of the Godhead. That would have been painful. The cross was painful. Jesus chose Christian pain. It had to happen. He had to fulfill the law for us. So in the dysfunction that is our country, Congress has chosen the unchristian pain of hiding their corruption, burying it beneath layers of incompetence. And oh gosh golly, those darn stinking bureaucratic agencies, oh gosh, they're just so incompetent. Oh golly, the bureaucrats. That's the Republican form of hiding corruption. The Democrats' form of hiding corruption is to flood the zone with so much money that you can't track it down. It's called a Cloward Piven. It's a political strategy. The way you take down Democratic countries is to flood their systems with that on with the fuel in which it runs. So flood it with money. Flood it with immigrants. Flood it with criminals. Criminal justice system is a strength. Flood their criminal justice system. So the Democrats' method is just to flood the zone with so much money and so many NGOs and so many layers of corruption that we can't see it. Forest for the trees, until Elon Musk came along and is literally Hitlering. Because Elon Musk is making it possible for us to analyze spending, and that is literally Hitlering. That was what Hitler was famous for, was analyzing spending. Well, he's enabling cuts. He can't cut anything. President Trump can cut what's in the executive branch. Oh, except for the judges. The judges for whom the word district means nothing. What is a district judge? It's a judge who makes national decisions. Why are they called district judges? The founders were stupid and old and white. That's why. They didn't get it. Okay. So hiding corruption is painful. It's hard. Dealing with corruption is painful and hard. Telling the truth about it, painful and hard, if you're the one doing it. So choose Christian pain. Jesus came and revealed corruption. We think of all the ways he did that. Sometimes just in simple conversations with the Pharisees, where people realize, wow, that young rabbi just outdebated those learned, important Pharisees. Having real elections, elections on which you can count, is hard. Having a country that doesn't trust their elections is hard. Speaking of that, in elections, listen to one of the most corrupt, unconstitutional injunctions that's ever been in place since the 80s.
Something else people don't know is that in the mid-1980s, there was a judge, a federal district court judge in New Jersey, who entered a consent decree that Republicans could not be poll watchers. So from mid-80s until 2020, Republicans were not allowed to be poll watchers on these national elections. And what happened was that judge eventually died, and the Democrats, the DNC, they had to go get that injunction renewed every 5 or 8 years, something along those lines. And when that judge died, he was replaced by an Obama judge. And they went back to that judge and they said, we want this consent decree in place, making it so Republicans cannot be poll watchers and cannot be a part of this process. Mm. And he said, what in the heck are you talking about? This is absolutely so unconstitutional. And he refused to renew that consent decree. He refused to renew that injunction. So 2020 was one of the first years that we had professional Republican poll watchers in these elections to see what was going on in Atlanta, in Detroit, in Milwaukee, in Philadelphia. Mm. It was the first time we were able to really see what was going on in these polling places. And what that tells me is that probably a lot of these shenanigans had been going on for a long, long time, but there were no Republicans there to report on it. Mm.
That's from the Winston Marshall Show, by the way. And if you ever want my show notes, they're not always the same shows, but we did that on my podcast today. You can go to thetoddhermanshow.com and subscribe, or go to thetoddhermanshow.substack.com. You can subscribe there and get my show notes, links to videos like that. And if you become a paid subscriber there at that's thetoddhermanshow.substack.com, there are videos I produce only for that audience, because they would get censored on YouTube. And there's no censorship here. There's God. And the Wildman family is going to make sure we are biblically strict. Love that. So the God of law and order wants us to choose his way, which is the way that leads to eternal life with him. It's hard. Not having eternal life with God is going to be hard. See, the one time it's not hard is when we follow the way, the truth, and the life. And we accept the free reward of salvation. The one time it's not hard is the new heaven and the new earth. But choosing Christian pain can be hard. Choosing law and order. These rogue judges are godless judges. It's humble to admit, I'm only a district court judge. I can't hear this case. For instance, on this immigration case, this judge who wanted these dangerous cartel soldiers to stay in the country, do you know that not one of those cartel soldiers was in Washington, D.C., where he's the boss of the circuit court, the federal court, rather? Not one of them. They had no standing, and he didn't care. Now, see, this could all be stopped by John Roberts. He won't do it. Well, how do I know that? Because he's not. This is from Time Magazine back in August 13, 1973. It's a really interesting story. The headline, "The Constitution, the odd pause that wasn't." For exactly 6 hours and 10 minutes one day last week, Associate Justice William O. Douglas of the U.S. Supreme Court outlawed the American bombing of Cambodia. A judge, this is me, not the article, a judge seized control of a battle. Back to the article. That was not quite long enough to stop the actual bombing, of course, nor was Douglas's actions much of a legal landmark, since it was overturned later the same day by one of his colleagues with the backing of the other members of the Supreme Court. Nonetheless, it was the latest and certainly the oddest of a growing number of battles between the Nixon administration and both the legislative and judicial branches of the federal government, the most historic of which is over Nixon's tapes and documents. Douglas agreed, so he was approached by people who wanted the war to stop, and you'll hear who those people were in a second, just to give this framing, back to the Time Magazine article. Douglas agreed to hold a hearing the next day in Yakima, Washington. There, in a musty courtroom, he listened to arguments by the ACLU and two hastily summoned government lawyers. When Dean Smith, the U.S. attorney from Spokane, asserted that the August 15 cutoff date had been aimed at averting a confrontation between the president and Congress, the judge, Douglas, replied, "We live in a world of confrontation. That's what the whole system is about." The hearing over, the judge retired to write an opinion, which he released at 9:30 the following morning by the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C., treating the matter as a capital case since it involved the lives of American airmen as well as Cambodian peasants. Douglas wrote, "I do what I think any judge would do in a capital case, vacate the stay entered by the Court of Appeals." Only 10 minutes after the decision was released, Deputy Solicitor General Daniel Friedman entered the court and handed the clerk the government's request for a new stay order. Chief Justice Warren Burger suggested that Justice Marshall, who supervised the Second Circuit, should handle the matter and began sounding out other members of the High Court on the issue. Marshall reached the court by 11 a.m. some 4 hours later after conferring by telephone with other justices. Marshall issued an order that permitted the bombing to continue. In effect, the justices had informally voted 8-1 to bring an end to the Douglas bombing pause. They decided on technical grounds, avoiding the ponderous constitutional issues. The next step will come this week when the Second Circuit Court hears the government's appeal of the district court's halting the bombing. They were allowed to continue the bombing. John Roberts could stop the rogue judges today. He won't. Newt Gingrich issued a warning. Those upset by the emerging dictatorship of district court justices behaving as though they were president should read the Judiciary Act of 1802. Jefferson and his party completely revised the court system and abolished a series of federal judges they deemed illegitimate. A warning to the out-of-control judiciary. Welcome back. Be in the world, not of it. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Thank you for being here. We refer to this segment as In the World, Not of It. I used to just have that privately in my show notes just to remind myself, ground yourself. Remember what you're here. Remember this network, what the Lord meant for it, to combine news with God's views on it. So it's just a reminder to me. But this builds up into something that occurred to me about President Trump. And it's one of the lesser known stories in the Bible about King Josiah. Fascinating. Became king when he was 8. Now, I'm not calling President Trump king. I don't want a king. I continue to wonder to what degree President Trump is saved. I hear him confess Jesus. I just don't know if I observe yet mature Christianity in him. And that's me. And you can say, hey, you know what? We listen to you every day. You seem like a childish Christian to us. That's fair. You get to do that. And I take the feedback. You can email me at thetoddhermanshow.com, or you can email through AFR, and this way it rolls up into management. That's comments@afr.net. So choose your method. And I want to talk about King Josiah, because I observe in how God is using President Trump some parallels. Now, there are some parallels I don't want to see. If you know the story of King Josiah, he took some actions I don't want to see happen here. But they were godly actions at the time. Then Jesus came. So I'll get to that, but let's start with a little framing, okay? You know about the Tower of Babel? We do the Tower of Babbling next segment to honor the Tower of Babel, that story, and the fact of that. That God scrambled the language of people because they weren't doing his will. That he had told the Hebrew people to go and disperse, and here's where I want you to go. And they said, nah, we got a better idea, God. We're all going to stay here and build a high tower so we can get closer to you. And so God said, yeah, I'm not going to let you do that. I'm going to scramble your languages. So he did. And they couldn't plan things together, and they dispersed. So scrambled languages and the babbling. It starts us down this path of getting to King Josiah. So you're about to hear the jumbled voices of 22 different Democrat senators reading the same script word for word.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
They went so far as to have the camera at the same angle. In all but one case, they were holding lapel mics, the same exact method for doing this. It was clearly designed to be, here's what you do, here's the template, and it didn't work. Jumbled thoughts from lawless people. And being that it's all written down and repeated, it's almost like a religious mantra. A chanting series of corrupt monks in their temple that God is carefully, well, maybe not so carefully, through President Trump showing us the stink of corruption. President Trump has forced the hand of the deep state that we can now look at it and see the mapping of the many, many different layers of money laundering that all apparently circles back to Democrats and their power base. Praise God. And so this got me thinking about President Trump and King Josiah. Now, that was an older series of mantras being chanted. That was from a few weeks ago, about, I guess, 4 weeks ago. But there's a new script that the Democrats were told to use.
The strength that we have is in this moment.
Listen to your constituents. Center them in this moment.
But I can tell you that there are a lot of people that are watching his leadership in this moment. This is the moment.
You know, I think about what's happening, in this moment.
What's important is that we meet this moment.
So are these current Democrats the ones to meet the moment?
What do you want to see us doing right now in this moment?
And which Democrats are actually going to stand up against Elon Musk and Donald Trump in this moment?
Fight that you all are exhibiting is not just what the base wants, but it's what this moment requires.
Why the phrase in this moment? Urgency. They chose that to create a belief or a feeling of urgency in their victims' minds. It has to happen this moment. We can't wait a second longer. Elon Musk is literally making it easy for constituents to see how their money's spent. We can't have that. Because when you see how money's being spent, you can make rational decisions. And we can't have that. There's a new AI that is working around the Data Republican AI. And it's tracking down money after money after money. Source after source after source. It's following the money, literally. Oh, hey, look. Here's how 15 different family members of Democrats, congressmen, and senators got millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars and then gave a bunch of it back to their family members in politics. Lawlessness got me thinking about President Trump and King Josiah. I'm not horribly impressed with this woman. I give her a D minus right now. And yet she is worlds better than the paper bully Merrick Garland. Attorney General Pam Bondi went on Fox News to say the Trump administration will still be following the Alien Enemies Act.
He's attempting to meddle in national security and foreign affairs, and he can't do it. What he's done is an intrusion on the president's authority. You know, this one federal judge, again, thinks he can control foreign policy for the entire country, and he cannot. And right now we're evaluating our options.
Okay, so the administration may continue doing these flights?
Absolutely. These are foreign terrorists. The president has identified them and designated them as such, and we will continue to follow the Alien Enemies Act.
Okay.
That Alien Enemies Act is a law. It allows the president to take these actions. The law does. King Josiah was only 8 years old when he became king. And so interesting, he'd never read the law, the one handed down by Moses after God gave to Moses the ability to dictate it. We'll get to that in a second here. Ilhan Omar wants you to believe that the act protecting American sovereignty is wholly un-American.
It is hard to imagine anything more un-American than that. The Trump administration's immigration policy is a threat to immigrants like criminals. America is too great to fall prey to Donald Trump's anti-immigrant agenda. We need to restore basic humanity to our immigration system, and that starts with repealing the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. With our Neighbors Not Enemies Act. Together, we will end this xenophobic law once and for all.
It's un-American. Written by our founders. Says a woman rescued from a country being destroyed by Islam who's come here to promote Islam. Got it. Makes sense. If you know what I mean. President Trump had posted a picture on social media, picture from his first term, 2017 to 2021, and his second term, 2025. The second term is his mugshot picture now with a different background put in, the American flag. And in the middle, 2021 to 2025, where would there otherwise be a picture of Joe Biden, there's a picture of an auto pen signing Biden's name. Appropriate, since Biden never ran anything, the entire regime was lawless. How many bills signed into law did Biden not know he supposedly signed into law? How many pardons did Biden not issue but were auto pen issued by his staff who had access to the auto pen? Biden himself, according to Speaker Mike Johnson, had no idea he had signed into law an action limiting energy choices for Americans and deeply affecting Louisiana. He had no idea. And Speaker Johnson said Biden wasn't lying. He didn't know. Just consider some things. The Democrat Party is winking and nodding and laughing as Tesla facilities are being burned to the ground. As Tesla's just privately owned cars are being destroyed. There is a website that exists that has gotten the names and addresses of everybody who owns a Tesla, and it is published. The cursor on that website is a Molotov cocktail. The suggestions on the website is here's how to be untraceable. Here's some creative ways that you might modify someone's Tesla. It's organized for real, lawless domestic terror. And there's a guy who lives near us, and he drives his Tesla. And you had better not try him. See, this is going to get to the wrong person. Someone's going to get killed. And oh, wait. We still don't have the details, but a journalist with Alex Jones at InfoWars was murdered. Jamie White. You know what's happening to these conservative social media bigwigs or influencers, they're called? I hate that phrase. They're now getting pizzas delivered to their homes at night. Pizzas they didn't order in the name of Jamie White. In other words, you're next. But yes, 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 MAGA's very scary. King Josiah was 8 when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. This from 2 Kings 22. His mother's name was Jebidah, daughter of Abidah. She was from Bozath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. The secretary went to the king and reported to him, your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple. Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Akim, son of Shaphan, Achbor, son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Isaiah, the king's attendant. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in the book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They've not acted in accordance with all that is written concerning us. They lost the law. They found it during a construction project or a cleaning up of a temple, rebuilding. President Trump is not King Josiah. Thank God, because King Josiah went on to have a whole bunch of false prophets killed. Well, they were leading the people to eternal damnation. They were teaching falsehoods to the people. King Josiah was king with the 31 years. President Trump is not King Josiah. I do not want to see people killed. I don't think you do either. Well, I mean, unless you're a leftist. And you're a fan of a website sending people to the homes of folks who just bought a car. Maybe 5-6 years ago. And it's going to end in violence. Because not everybody's going to be excited to have their Teslas firebombed. I'm here to tell you, if you try that on my neighbor, you won't leave. You walk onto his property. I'm here to tell you, you will not leave his property. Someone's going to pick the wrong person. I don't want it to happen, but it will. President Trump is reacquainting America with some facts. And it's uncomfortable. People who control our money don't care about how it's spent because there's so much of it. I mean, who's going to miss $1 billion when we have a $330 trillion actual debt? It's not just $30 trillion. We have promised to pay pension funds, etc. They're called unfunded liabilities. Unless Congress changes those things, we have a $330 trillion debt. So what's a billion here and a billion there? Well, the law says you can't do that. You can't launder money through a series of NGOs just to have it land back into your campaign coffers or into your own hands. We can't. We're doing it. We've been doing it for decades. But President Trump is bringing back some law and order. Shutting down USAID doesn't mean shutting down aid to the world. It means shutting down a corrupt agency that's in D.C. The saying was, if it's too dirty for the CIA, give it to USAID. Sending cartel soldiers out of the country isn't lawless. The bringing of them in illegally on airplanes was lawless. President Trump is rediscovering the law for people, and they don't like it because choosing to live lawfully is hard. Living in a criminal country, fallen down into a low trust society is hard. Choose your hard. Choose the Christian pay. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling and a personal note. I'm Todd Herman, and this is A Disciple's View. Thanks for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to a personal note here in a moment. Just some business to attend to before we jump into that and the Tower Babbling for the personal note. Do you remember the first movie you saw? I remember where I took my daughter to her first movie. And I'll tell that story in a personal note because there was a time when media meant something good. I mean, too much of it could always be bad for you, but there was a time, of course, and I sound like every generation, and yet in our case, it's true. With what Walt Disney has become, can't wait to tell you this story. It was one of those moments in parenting that I can still feel. There are so many of those moments, and it was with great books like Dr. Seuss. I got to tell that story, too. I mean, she had her little children's Bible, which she found the other day. I guess it was about a year ago. She says, Dad, I found my kid's Bible. Her favorite story was Zechariah, too short to see the Lord, so he climbed a tree. I love that because she could relate because she was small. So I'll hold on to these things for the personal notes here, but I'm asking this because of the movie Snow White. Fascinating to watch what someone at Disney is apparently doing or one of their agents, probably one of their digital strategists said, oh, we won't get caught. Here's some reviews, 5-star reviews posted on RottenTomatoes.com. This is where the critics always love the films and the audiences hate them. And if the audiences hate them, the critics love them. Listen to these reviews of the new Snow White film, which is, of course, been ruined with DEI and the rewriting of the story and a star who is a young woman who could really, really use the fear of the Lord to gain some wisdom. Okay, here's the first review. It comes from Red Flower. It was a good movie. I really enjoyed it. Rachel Zegler was fun, and her musical numbers were incredible. The dwarfs looked a little weird, but they're still good. The animals were so adorable, and the Gal Gadot song, All Is Fair, was beautifully sung. Okay, so that was from Red Flower. This is from Anthony Marcus. It was a good movie. I really enjoyed it. Rachel Zegler was fun, and her musical numbers were incredible. The dwarfs looked a little weird, but they were still good. The animals were so adorable, and Gal Gadot's song, All Is Fair, was beautifully sung. So that's from Anthony Marcus. This is from Yugi Masoto. It was a good movie. I really enjoyed it. Rachel Zegler was fun, and her musical numbers were incredible. The dwarfs looked a little weird, but they were still good. The animals were also adorable. Gal Gadot's song, All Is Fair, was beautifully sung. Hey, and they all gave them 5 stars using exactly the same verbiage. Oh, but don't worry, digital firm who's getting paid an enormous amount of money to by Disney to pretend that people like the movie. Don't worry. You'll never get caught. Rachel Zegler, who's playing Snow White in Disney's new remake, continually bashed the original cartoon during her press tour.
No longer 1937.
She's not going to be saved by the prince.
She's not going to be saved by the prince, and she's not going to be dreaming about true love. She's dreaming about becoming the leader she knows she can be, and the leader that her late father told her that she could be if she was fearless, fair, brave, and true.
The original cartoon came out in 1937, and very evidently so. There is a big focus on her love story with a guy who literally stalks her.
Yeah.
Weird. Weird. So we didn't do that this time.
I was scared of the original cartoon. I think I watched it once and then I never picked it up again. I watched it for the first time in probably 16, 17 years. The cartoon was made 85 years ago, and therefore it's extremely dated when it comes to the ideas of women being in roles of power.
Yeah, you know, it's a good thing. Women no longer pine for true love. That was gross. When women would think, one day I'll meet a man who will cherish me and love me with evidence of love, actions, verbs. Man, I'm glad those days are over. Aren't you? On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like Rachel Zegler on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
What does Trump expect? Oh, I believe he expects violence. I believe he expects confrontation. I believe he's working toward a civil war.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. This woman wants you to believe that Democrat policies are really popular. They just don't tell the message well.
But the reality is there's good policy here, and it's popular too. These things that Trump wants to do are very unpopular. The tariffs are unpopular. All of this is unpopular. So if they can't make this, you know, if they can't message on this, I don't know what to tell them.
President Trump has his highest approval ratings in history. The Democrat Party has never had lower approval ratings in their history in modern polling. Soundbite number two on today's Tower Babbling. James Carville was on Chris Cuomo's podcast, doubling down on Carville's belief that of Trump's syphilis assessment.
What are you going for here with the, I'm worried that Trump has syphilis?
Well, okay, first of all, there's something wrong with him. That's pretty clear. That meeting in the Oval Office was a significant deterioration. Secondly, we do know that he did have red splotches on his hand, which, you know, it could be an indication of syphilis.
By the way, if you were smelling like the exhale of bourbon or whiskey or scotch, did you smell that? I'm not saying he was drunk because I don't know, but he seemed it. And behind him were, I don't know, 50 bottles of booze. I don't know. Maybe do the interview in a different place, Jim. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Margaret Brennan, do you hear yourself when you plead ignorance as to why Mahmoud Khali was labeled a terrorist?
Is there any evidence of a link to terrorism, or is it just his point of view?
Yeah, they take over. I mean, you should watch the news. These guys take over entire buildings. They vandalize colleges.
Intensely.
They shut down
I'm
colleges.
Asking about the specific justification for the revocation of his visa. Was there any evidence of material support for terrorism?
Was the negotiator negotiating on behalf of people that took over a campus, that vandalized buildings? Negotiating over what? That's a crime in and of itself.
Marco Rubio is getting really crisp and really good at what he does, and the Mockingbird media continues to open themselves up to questions such as, do you hear yourself? One of the greatest lines J.D. Vance has ever delivered. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word a computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things.
That was the Tower of Babylon on A Disciple's View.
Must be really tough on the young black kids to not know what computer means. Wow, the racism. Low bigotry of, or the soft bigotry of low expectations. On a personal note today, I took my little girl to her first movie. Loved it. It was a grand experience for her because we didn't watch a lot of media at home. We didn't have we had a TV, but it wasn't connected to anything. We had DVR videos, so we were careful that way. And so we went to the movie theater to see Horton Hears a Who. And I remember walking in with her and she smelled the popcorn. That terrible for you movie popcorn, but it's so tasty. Dad, can we get popcorn? Yep. And just for fun, just for spectacle, I decided to splurge and get the big popcorn that was maybe just slightly larger than her. Maybe not quite. And we got some drinks. And she even said, you have to have pop. You always have water. Please have pop. So I did. I did Diet Coke, which I still like, by the way. Terrible for you, but it's a nutritional sin. And we walked into the theater and she was blown away by the seats and how comfortable they were. This was one of the new wave theaters where the seats reclined. And she said the cutest thing. Where do they show the movie? I said, right there. Oh, it didn't land. She didn't yet get it. Then the previews came on. She looked at me and said, the whole thing is the movie? Yeah, that screen. It's huge. It is. So there we were sitting next to each other, she to my left. And she is a blonde-haired, blue-eyed little girl, still blonde-haired, still blue-eyed. And the movie came on. And if you know Horton Hears the Who, right, you know the story. This gigantic elephant hears the voices of humans or beings. They're not humans, but beings on a tiny little piece of, it's not grass, but it's like a dandelion. And they're saying, help us, help us. And only Horton can hear it. And everyone thinks he's insane. And some of the characters flat hate him. This is Dr. Seuss' book, Horton Hears a Who. And it's about life. A person's a person, no matter how small. Remember that? So in the movie, there comes a time where Horton is protecting this dandelion. And he is just about to fall into the water. And some kangaroos come on. And the kangaroos approach Horton. They're not speaking yet. But I remember turning to my little girl and saying, should he go with the kangaroos? She said, she stopped for a second. Her eyes got huge. And then she turned to me. No. Bad kangaroos. And he did not fall for the kangaroos, skullduggery. But indeed, this story is a story of life. A person's a person, no matter how small. Horton Hears a Who. And the way Google wants you to think of this is, no matter how different we might seem from one another, we are all human. Nothing can take away your humanity, not a government or another person. Well, there's also the fact that it was a small form of life that the others wanted to exterminate, some because they didn't hear it like a heartbeat, some because they couldn't see it. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. So as we drove away from the theater, and I don't even think she was in kindergarten yet, I said, does that remind you of anything? She said, me. Tell me about that. I'm small, but I'm still a person. Yep. And you were small when you were a baby, even smaller. And even smaller yet when you were in mama's body. And you were still a person then, weren't you? Yeah, it was still me. Love moments like this. I loved reading to her. Another Dr. Seuss book I read to her, Cat in the Hat. And when the cat came to the house, I said, should they let the cat in? And she did the same thing. No, bad cat. At the end of the book, there's that question. Tell me, what would you do if the cat came to your house? Would you tell your mom? I don't remember exactly the rhyme I used. And I said to my daughter, what would you do? Would you tell mom? And she said, yes. Wait, no. Wait, yes, no. Beautiful. But of all the reading I did to her and with her, this one stands out because we did it partly apart. I was in Washington, D.C., and she was in Seattle. And so we were reading Lord of the Rings. And I gave her a copy that she could read, which had pictures in it. And I read from afar. But we got home, we weren't done with the book. And we were sitting in the front room reading the book. Now, that book, by the way, that book is all about the Lord. It is Christian theology steeped in Catholicism, the Lord of the Rings. And at the end, there's the sacrificial scene where Frodo has to leave. Frodo is going to heaven. And that last line, after Sam Gamgee saw his friend go away, there's that last line. And Sam Gamgee was home. I read that to her on the couch. She to my right this time, still blonde haired, still blue eyes. And Sam Gamgee was home. And I paused. And she looked at me, startled. Wait, Dad, is that the end? Yes. She went running into my wife. Frodo and Sam will never see each other again. I hate that book. And in about 10 minutes, she came out to me and said, can we read it again? The whole book? Yeah. I said, do you think that Sam Gamgee will see Frodo again? And she said, yeah. I think maybe when Sam dies. I think you're right. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations. Until we all speak again, courtesy of the Lord's permission, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.